Matthew 17, and starting in verse 14. And let me just read down through verse 21, and then we'll pray, and I'll share a few thoughts here. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain... To the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. And for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me." And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, 'Remove hence to yonder place,' and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your goodness and grace. Thank you for being a God who answers prayer. Lord, I pray as we give a few simple thoughts here, I pray that you might, by your omniscient power, that you'd give each one of us something here that would rest upon our heart and find some root there and increase our trust in you, to increase our belief in you, so that we might see you do some great things in our lives, in the lives of others whom we pray for, and in our ministry here at Galilee Baptist Church. And we'll thank you for that in Christ's name. Amen. So as they were there, and the reason I brought this up this morning for our teachers was in verse 15, where it says he is a lunatic, and we were talking about our students, and no, I'm just joking. But as we went through there, just thinking about, so here's a man burdened for his son, and as it says, he often falleth in the fire and into the water, and it's, you know, it's almost as if he's trying to kill him. And so as he comes, and it's interesting in verse 17, who are the ones in the context of this passage, who are the faithless, or those who don't have much faith? Yeah, his disciples. Yeah, and though I'm sure it would be, because it says generation, so obviously because they came to the multitude, but yet, boy, that would be pretty pointed. Here, you know, they're trying to do the work of the ministry, and it didn't work. You know, he said, "I brought him to your disciples, and they couldn't do this." And so the Lord says, "Bring him unto me." And so he rebuked the devil, and the devil came out of him, and he was cured. And then verse 19, when the disciples were alone with Christ, they said, "Why couldn't we do it? You know, you gave us power over demonic spirits. Why couldn't we do it in this case?" And Jesus said it very clearly, "Because of your unbelief. You just didn't think I could." And it's interesting when Jesus was in his hometown there, I think it's Mark 6, and it says that he could not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. And it says he was, I forget the exact words, he marveled, I think is the words, he marveled at their unbelief. And it's interesting to me in times, you know, here the ship's going down he says, "Oh, you have little faith." Or when Peter's sinking on the water, he says, "Where's your faith?" And it's amazing in life as we live it, and all that we touch and feel and see and do, that the Lord says, why don't you believe me?" He said, "This is nothing." You know, and so that unbelief. And then he says, "For verily," and then he explains this a little bit. So a truth of oath, an oath of truthfulness, "Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed." So as I asked this morning, how big is a mustard seed?
The smallest.
It's a little itty bitty. You know, we've seen them if you've got mustard seed as a spice. It's very small, or if you've planted that kind of thing. And now it grows very big, but it is very, very small. So it's interesting that faith as a grain of mustard seed. It's not very big. What is the key with faith? where it's placed. And so, you know, if I placed a mustard seed on the seat of a Tonka toy bulldozer, I could throw it against that wall and I may dent it, but it probably wouldn't go through. But if I put it on a road grader size bulldozer, it'd go right through there because that seed was placed on the right power. And so God says, hey, I want you to trust me. Now think about it. Step back a moment. Think about it this way. How much faith did you need to be saved? Because think about that. That's big time stuff. You believed. You believed that you were a sinner on your way to hell. And you believe that somehow somebody who died 2,000 years ago, that somehow through his atoning death, that if you placed your faith there, that he would take away your sin and allow you to go to heaven and thus restore you into a personal relationship with God. Wow! You believe that? Man, that's tremendous! So God says, okay, that same faith that you had that saved me, let's transform it, or let's transfer it over into this realm or this area of living by faith. Because that's the same faith you should have. The God who... I mean, because there's no greater miracle than salvation. None. And if we could just... You know, maybe that's the times where we need to go back and meditate on the reality. You know, I know a lot more today about salvation than I did when I was 12, 13 years old when I trusted Christ. All I knew was I was a sinner and He was a Savior. And that's all it took. But as you study theology and study the Bible and study truth... You realize, wow, that was an impossible chasm that I could never cross. And yet He saved me. So He said, don't doubt me now. Just keep a little grain of mustard seed faith. Because if you have that much, what will happen? What does He say there? You can say unto a mountain, remove thence to yonder place, and it shall be removed. Now, I think what the primary thing is that He's focused on is when you have mountains that hinder your ministry. When you have mountains that you can't get out of the way. And you wonder, how can this ever... This is impossible. But Lord, it's hindering what You want to accomplish. At least that's how I see it. And God can put that burden on your heart. But Lord, You can move it. You can remove it. You can set it aside. You can split it in two. Put us right through. And so, folks, as we face those kind of things in ministry, let's get on our knees. Let's realize God is all-powerful. And He can move that mountain out of the way. And yet at times, we must remember verse 21, howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. So there's times where we just say, Lord, you know, I can't do it. And I think fasting, not only does it set aside the world and anything there, and you focus in on what the Lord wants, but it also shows how important that is to you. How important it is. Now, I shared this morning just in passing a little bit, but, you know, there's things in our lives that directly connect with us that we get so burdened for and we fast. But there should be at times where ministry, Lord, this is Your cause. This is Your name. This is for Your promotion. This is the advancement of Your kingdom. And Lord, it matters so much to me that I'm going to skip my daily necessity because I really want You to work. I really want You to move. And that may, you know, I mentioned this morning to our folks, you know, in 2 Corinthians 10, you know, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and context there, as I shared recently, I don't remember here somewhere, that was Paul speaking about false teachers and false ideas that got into the Corinthian church. And those kind of ideas and philosophies are out there. You know, we have some folks that are coming on Sunday that have been coming for a while that don't know Christ. And we need to pray that God would tear down the strongholds of false ideas. And you may have some relatives or friends that you've witnessed to that, Lord, would You tear down those strongholds that are in their minds, in their hearts, and so the gospel has free course to get in there. So let's remember, as we leave here tonight, maybe I should have shared this, but I didn't know we were going to take so long before the time here. But let's remember that God says, hey, trust me. Just faith in a great God can do great things. And you know, we often say prayer changes things, but really it's prayer to a great God changes things. And that's the reality. And so let's remember, God can do great things. He can move a mountain. And he does it as God burdens your heart about that mountain. Say, Lord, would you please get out of the way? Not for my sake. Not so my life is easier. Not just so things are better for me and this and that for me. But Lord, for your sake and for your glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the reminder that it's not the magnificence of our faith, but faith in a magnificent God, a powerful God. And Father, at those times when we may feel like this Father and have questions, have doubts, even like the disciples, when they wondered, why couldn't we see you work? And Lord, help us to remember those words because of your unbelief. And then we ask, Lord, even as I believe in the other Gospels where he said, Lord, help thou my unbelief. Father, I pray that you would help us to trust you, increase our faith, increase our trust, increase our belief, our reliance, our expectation of your power being displayed and demonstrated in answer to our prayer. And Father, I pray that as maybe some people feel like there are some mountains hindering their life for you at the present moment, I pray that you would remove them, that we may praise you, we may glorify you, we may yield to you afresh because of your great power displayed as you do your will in answer to our prayers. Thank you again for what you'll do. In Christ's name, amen.